You're now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al Powder and Maddie D.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 252, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to all the podcasts, everything else in between. You know them by now. Yellow Card Podcast, Chasers Podcast, it's Saturday Yep Pod, and obviously the Legends Lingo Pod here with you. The whole crew's here tonight. Al Nahegian, Tom Powder, Cadmus, Maddie Burnett back with us after a week. Was the Christmas party good last week?
Yeah, I had 7 drinks. I had a good time.
Oh, so there you go. Maddie had a great time.
We did, baby.
we did not miss you, even in the slightest.
I'm sure you guys didn't. It's okay.
No, we didn't at all. We had a great conversation. We missed you a little bit. We did. We missed your uniqueness. Is that the way we describe it, Powder? His Maddie-isms? I
know you're uncomfortable trying to give me some compliments right now. It's okay.
Like his hair, his beard looks good. Like I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is.
Hey, it's a big week for me this week, so thank you.
All right. Oh my gosh. All right. Anyways, we're gonna get started.
It's the birthday episode for me this week.
It is. So Christmas Eve is Maddie Burnett's birthday. Maddie, you're turning what, 27?
Yeah.
So we're turning 27.
I know, I'm the youngest of the three of us.
The baby of the group. The little kid that we have to like give him his bottle and make sure it's complete.
I'm in my late 20s, so.
Oh, stop it. Oh, yeah, Powder, you're still in your late 20s, too. I forgot.
I'm 27, too.
Oh, God. I'm the eldest in this group.
Yeah, me and Powder are young. Jeez. Then there's the old turd up there.
I'm the only one that can say I'm in my 30s. Wow. That's pretty bad. All right. Yeah. But anyways, let's not talk about my anxiety or my depression now that I realize that I'm the only 30-year-old on this show. Anyways, let's get into it. So, all right, where do we want to begin? A lot of this is going to be like pain and misery anyway. There's no like real fun sports things to talk about. Maddie's got a good non-sports topic that we'll talk about later in the episode. But I mean, I guess let's just start with it. Patriots took on the Chiefs week 15, coming away with a 27-17 loss. The loss puts them at 3-11. Solidifies them right now, still at number 2 overall for the upcoming 2024 NFL draft. Just quick game thoughts, guys. I mean, this game was competitive in the first half. It was very similar to the Steelers Thursday night game in the sense of the offense looked really good in the first half. They were moving the ball, making plays, doing what they could to keep the game close. Then the second half, Zappe comes out. He throws the pick to start the second half, and then all of a sudden, they can't score anymore. So again, it's the same old story. They can't keep it consistent throughout the whole game. They can't do it. They play 30 good minutes of offensive football. They keep their defense on the field because they think that's their best chance to actually do something, but that's not the way you can play it in 2023. So I'm tired of it. It is what it is. Like, we all accepted the fact that we wanted a competitive game. I wanted them to either, like, win or lose. It was a win-win for me. So, you know what? Get the draft pick and do something with this franchise, please. But that's my opening take. I want to hear your guys' opening takes on the game. Then we'll talk about some other things actually within the Patriots organization that are going on. Powder, we'll start with you. Then we'll go to Birthday Boy after. Powder, what do you got?
Yeah, I actually ended up going to the game. One of my friends got free tickets, asked me to go. So it was fun to actually be able to go to the Patriots game. Like you said, there were some moments that was competitive. It looked good. But there were other moments where, me and my buddy were saying, like, the drives you saw that they start off running the ball, they went nowhere. For the first, I don't even know how long, they had, like, 20 yards rushing for the game. It was kind of miserable, but the couple drives they started just passing the ball, they actually were able to get plays and move the ball. So that's basically, when they pass the ball, they look good. When they rush the ball, it seemed like they could never get flow on the offense, like you said. And then come second half, the Chiefs just kind of took over, and you could tell they're the better team.
Fair assessment. What do we got, Maddie?
Well, I mean, it sucks that we only have a first-half quarterback. I mean, as you know, Zappe ain't the answer. I think we all know that. Is he better than Mac at this point? It's like, well, if Mac was in that game, that would have been a lot worse. I think that's clear to say. That would have been a lot worse if that was Matt. So my thought was coming out of this game was, maybe they should have done this a few weeks ago before they were knocked out of contention for good if they really wanted to be competitive this season. It's clear that, all right, Max, it's clear Mac might not even have a future with the Patriots happening this season. Because you got a solid backup in Zappe. He's a good backup. He's not a good starter. He's a good backup. You go get, you know, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, whoever the hell they take. Because they're going to get one of them. They are. But, you know, second half is just, all right, we're going to fall apart as usual. And, you know, we're going to make a competitive game all of a sudden uncompetitive. But at the same time, you look at Kansas City in this game. That could have been a lot worse in the second half. They only lose by 10 to them. I told you, Al, before the game, 50-13. That was my score prediction for the game.
Yeah, I thought that was a little too high when you said that. I'm like, I don't think they're going to get beat that bad. They were going to get beat, but it wasn't going to be like a blowout.
I mean, I'll take a 10-point. With how bad the Pats are this year, I'll take a 10-point loss to the Chiefs. I mean, granted, the Chiefs aren't the same Chiefs from just 2-3 years ago, but still, I'll take it. Passing was fine, like Powder said. The running, it's like, all right, oh, about Mondre. Yikes. I still like Zeke. I think Zeke should resign here for another year. I hope he does, because him and Mondre, they are a good 1-2 punch in the backfield. But
agreed.
Oh, God. That's all I got to say is we only got 3 games left. Thank God. A perfect birth. I mean, I don't want to get into this, yes, but I have a perfect birthday gift for this weekend for myself. So,
oh, okay.
An ideal. How about that?
Fair. So we'll talk about that in a second, but I think about this game again, and it's exactly how it went, right? The Chiefs are the better team. The Chiefs are actually going to the playoffs. The Chiefs needed the win after losing 2 straight, 3 of their last 4, and they got it done. And by the way, I said this on Tuck Rule Takes, too. Shout out to the fans that got mad at the fact that Taylor Swift got booed at Gillette.
I thought it was hilarious seeing her get booed.
Oh, it's like, what do you expect? Like, the Swifties coming in being like, oh, you shouldn't be booing Taylor, all that stuff. It's like, it's not that they're booing the person. It's they're booing what she's wearing, which is the Chiefs gear.
Yeah.
If she was wearing Patriots gear or just a neutral fan, she would have gotten cheers galore and only cheers. But it's the fact it's the Chiefs. It's the fact that she's dating Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce isn't necessarily the most well-liked guy in the NFL. I think we can agree on that. Like, there are a lot of people that don't like him, and he can rub people off the wrong way, especially with this, you got to fight for your right to party. When he does that, it's like, dude, give it a rest. You're trying to be Gronk. It's ridiculous. But I digress from that. I mean, again, like Maddie said, 3 weeks left. Just try to get through it. So, you know what, Powder, unless you have anything else, Maddie, I think you did a good job describing it, too. I think we can just move into the Denver game and then talk about a couple other Patriots things. But anyways, let's just talk about the Denver game real quick. So the Patriots are playing Christmas Eve night against the Denver Broncos at Mile High.
That's Maddie's birthday.
It's Maddie's birthday. He's going to say it about 500 times this episode. That's his 27th birthday. Congratulations. Everybody has a birthday. It's once a year. Let's move on. Anyways.
Okay, I'm yours too, Al. Jesus
Christ. Man. All right, Patriots play the Broncos, and the Broncos, they've been playing a little bit better as of late. And you know what? Credit to Sean Payton. He's found a way to get that Denver team to be competitive for a playoff spot. Russell Wilson looks like a completely different quarterback than he did in 2022. Javonte Williams is having a good year in the backfield. Obviously, you have the two dynamic receivers at times with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. The defense is the defense. And listen, besides Miami, the Patriots are their worst when they go to Denver. Besides playing Miami, Denver is a house of horrors too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to put that in there, I would say Miami's probably one, but Denver is like a very, very close two. They play bad in Denver. It's just been a thing for years. And I'm expecting the same thing here. I'm expecting the Patriots have a lot of injuries. Like, I just took a look on X at Mike Cadlick's report about the practice injuries and all that. And there are a lot of injuries that are on that list. I'm just going to see if I can pull it up really quick. So we have did not practice on Wednesday's injury report. So we're recording on Wednesday, December 20th. By the way, if you listen to this after, Merry Christmas. Just so that way we can say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Did not practice today for the Patriots. Tight end Hunter Henry with a knee injury. Offensive tackle Connor McDermott with a concussion. Safety Jabril Peppers with a hamstring. Running back Amon Stevenson with an ankle injury. And then those that are limited. Defensive lineman Christian Barmore, shoulder. Linebacker Juwan Bentley, knee. Offensive tackle Trent Brown, ankle and hand. Quarterback Jonathan Jones, knee. Special teamer Matthew Slater, hamstring. Wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster with an ankle. Linebacker Jelani Tavai with an ankle injury. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here at this point? This team has nothing. They are just a bad, bad football team. At this point, there is no benefit in winning the football games. Will we be happiest fans? Of course. We always want our teams to win. But you know what? At this point, just lose out, solidify that number two pick, and then you'll have your choice of anybody between Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, Drake May, whoever's on the board, you'll have your choice at. You won't have to wait. You won't have to trade up. So, again, we'll see what happens, but I just had to get that out there. Patriots, Broncos thoughts. You guys go ahead.
Birthday boy?
I mean, nothing ever goes right when they go play in Denver. I remember when I was in college, I forget what season, I think it was 2018 or something. They were, what, like 10-0 going into Denver on Sunday Night Football, and they lost in overtime to freaking, like, Rock Osweiler or some shit like that. I don't even remember. He was the quarterback at that point. But it was, like, him, I think, they lost to. They obviously had the duels with Peyton Manning when he was out in Denver. The early 2000s teams would go to Denver. They'd lose there a lot, too. Can't play in Denver either. I mean, then again, you're like way above, you know, sea level and all that, so it's like, all right, you can't breathe. But this is gonna be rough. This one's actually gonna be rough. I'm not expecting, you know, like for them to lose by like 30, because Denver's not capable of doing that themselves. But this is not gonna be fun. I can tell you that much. It's gonna be fun if you lower your expectations for this game. Then yeah, it'll be a good time. But you know, it's on Christmas Eve night, so most likely people are going to have some drinks to them at that point, that point in the night. So it's like, all right, people are going to be loose. They're going to be ready to go. Football will be on. It's like, all right, we're going to be starting to have some, you know, a little bit of whatever's left over from your Christmas Eve gathering, if that's what you do. It'll be a good night, I think. It's going to be a good night for, you know, watching a football game. It's going to be bad if you're a Patriots fan. It's going to be great if you're a Broncos fan. Simple as that. Our buddy Lou's gonna have a great Christmas Eve this year.
Oh, Lou. Go ahead.
Yeah, just kind of what you guys both said. I think the Broncos are gonna take care of business, which is what us true Patriots fans I think want. We want them to lose. We want them to get the highest traffic to get the next franchise quarterback and kind of start over and reset the franchise. So hopefully I like that there are still competitive games, but they're losing, which is good to see, because I think you look at the defense, you know, it's a pretty good defense, maybe add a player here and there, but it's still a good defense, and you just need to retool the offense really bad.
All right, let's get to some score predictions for this game. I got 24-13 Broncos.
27-10 Broncos.
I'm going to roll with, I'm going to do 27-3. This could be bad, I think.
You think it's going to be worse than the Chiefs game?
I really think this is where shit's going to go wrong. This is where a lot's going to go wrong with Zappy, and we're going to be like, oh God, what happened?
And by the way, just the race for the number one pick, the Patriots actually picked up a game because the Panthers beat the Falcons on Sunday 9-7 with a last second field goal. So the Patriots are one game out of the.
They didn't win that stupid Steelers game.
I know. Now that Steelers game is.
That Steelers game is going to cost them, which is going to be hilarious. But my ideal birthday gift for Sunday, since my actual birthday isn't until Christmas Eve.
Yes, tell us.
I got the Patriots losing and then the Panthers winning. I don't even know who the Panthers play.
They play Green Bay.
I think they play the Packers. So there's a chance they might actually win that. The Packers are bad, too.
They are bad. No, they are.
If that happens, then it's like, all right, oh crap! All of a sudden, the three of us next week are talking about, or the week after, depending on what we're doing. all of a sudden we're talking about there's a chance we're getting the number one pick now.
Exactly. And again, even if you get number two, right? I know it's all going to depend on what Chicago does, but again, you're going to have your choice of one of the three of May, Williams, or Harrison Jr., whoever's on the board. I think Drake May is going to be on the board no matter what. I don't think he's going to be taken number one, but I think it's going to come down to, seriously, MHJ or Caleb Williams. And who knows? Maybe the Bears, and this is going to be me optimistically thinking for a sec, maybe the Bears are tired of Justin Fields and they want to move on, and maybe they take Caleb Williams and they say, we just can't pass up on him. Again, I know it's wishful thinking, but it is a possibility. You never know.
They're definitely taking Marvin Harrison Jr. first.
I wouldn't say definitely. I would say it's a strong
possibility. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, since he won't declare for some reason, but if he's there.
Well, it's because he could make an NIL deal of like $15 to $20 million if he goes back to Ohio State next year, which, I mean, it's not bad as a senior in college. What are you, 22 at that point, making that money? But I don't know. Again, tanking for two. That's the hashtag. Tank for two.
Yep.
Because if you can't get one, that's fine. Tank for two.
Yep.
A couple other Patriots tidbits real quick, then we'll get into a bunch of Red Sox stuff. Bill Belichick has been in a couple reports. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston had the first report. Jeff Howe of the Athletic doubled down on it, saying that it looks like the Patriots and Bill Belichick will be mutually parting ways at the end of the season. But then Ian Rapoport of ESPN came in and basically said, hold the phone. Nothing's been decided yet. So I don't know if you guys took any stock into any of those reports, but I'm a big believer in, if there's multiple sources here, then there has to be something to the fire. So I don't know. I guess the question I'm going to ask you guys is, do you think that these last three games are the last three games of Bill Belichick's tenure as Patriots head coach?
I mean, I just don't think they're going to confirm it before the season's over, because they just don't want to say you're out and just let him coach last games. They would fire him before then if they had that intention. I just think he deserves to finish the season off. And I think the Patriots, if they can find a way, I think they're going to maybe try and trade him to get a pick or something like that, because he's still under contract. So I can see the Patriots trying to do that, seeing if he will trade. Actually, technically, wouldn't he be trading himself? Since he's
pretty much.
GM?
Pretty much.
Yep.
Pretty much. Matty?
Yeah, this is it for him. I mean, I've been saying this a long time. This is it. You know, he ran his course here. It ran its course. It's time for something new. You know, he's stuck in his own way, and his way does not work in today's NFL. And if Robert Kraft wants to go back to the playoffs and start winning in the playoffs again, you got to cut ties with him. Now, in an ideal world would be, all right, let's trade him to the Chargers, get their first-round pick, and have all that fun stuff happen.
I'll tell you what. I'll do you one better. Trade him to the Commanders. Commanders are rumored to want him, potentially. And the Commanders have a higher pick right now than the Chargers. Commanders have number four overall. So if you could pick, right? And think about this, and I'm speculating here. Let's just say, Matty, right? Let's say that they either trade Belichick to the Commanders or the Chargers, and they get one of those two picks. If you really wanted one of those guys at number one, you could say to the Bears, hey, listen, we'll give you 2 and 8 for one. Because there's a guy we really want. You don't think the Bears would take that? You don't think they would slide down one?
Oh, they would easily take that, but at the same time, imagine if the Bears fire Matt Eberflus, and then here comes the Patriots be like, hey, you want Belichick? Give us the first overall pick.
Oh, man. I don't think they'd do one. I think they would do five. I think they would give the Patriots the fifth overall pick.
Give us both.
Maybe. And you can have Belichick in number two. That wouldn't be a bad trade.
I wouldn't hate the first and fifth overall pick, because that way you could see, all right, you take your quarterback at one. And yeah, there's a good receiver.
Or
he ain't flipping a five, Al.
But if you have the number one pick, you can take him at one.
But then it's like, all right, what if Drake May and Caleb Williams go 2 and 3? And it's like, all right, you really gonna take Jaden Daniels at five? I like Jaden Daniels, he's great. A little bit of a reach at five, though.
Yeah, but I mean, he just won the Heisman. He's a dual threat, so who knows?
Heisman and NFL don't go well together.
I know. He's also projected to go in the top 10, so it wouldn't be like that much of a reach, but I see the beat going back. Let's talk about this really quick, too, and then we'll get into some Red Sox talk. So, obviously, we talked about Bailey Zappe and his play. We talked about Mac Jones and how, you know, he got benched and everything and how it looks like his time in New England's done. Let me just ask you this. What does the quarterback room look like in 2024? Who's in there? Because I have my three, and you're not going to like my three. And I'm going to tell you it right now after I hear you guess. What's your quarterback room for next year for the Patriots?
I'm going to roll with like a combination of the following, either, you know, the whatever rookie you take. So either May, Caleb, or Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., whoever. It's going to be one of the rookies. I don't know which one. It's going to be one of the rookies. Your second is going to be Bailey Zappe. And then for some stupid reason, your third is going to be Mac Jones.
Powder?
I'm going to say, like you said, the rookie. I'm going to go Zappe. Then I'm going to go... I don't know. The third's tough because I don't think it's going to be Mac. I think Mac's going to be gone. I think it's just going to be some veteran free agent. I just can't see him keeping Mac.
So here's what I think the quarterback room is going to look like next year. And I'm going to give specific names. I think it's going to be Drake May. I think it's going to be Bailey Zappe. And I think Mac Jones is going to be there. And here's why. He has one more year left on his deal. And they're not going to, right now, if you wanted to trade Mac Jones, what value would you get for him? Maybe a sixth-round pick at the absolute best, a fifth? You're not going to get anything for him. Nothing. He's a broken quarterback. You're not going to get any value for Mac Jones. So why are you going to trade him when you can, if I were them, I would try to trade him. But honestly, what's going to happen is he's going to rot away the last year of his deal. He's not going to win the QB job next year. I don't think he should win it either. He's just going to rot away on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
No team is going to pick him up either, not even as a backup. I don't think there's any team out there that wants Mac Jones as a quarterback in their system.
They could put him on the practice squad, and I think he'd be. I think no one would pick him.
That's the thing. Right. Nobody would want him. And imagine that fall from grace from being a first-round pick, being a Pro Bowler your rookie year, to the practice squad 2 years, 3 years later. That's crazy. That is insane. But regardless, this is what we're looking at. Now, if we take out Mac Jones, I think a guy that they could pursue and maybe should think about looking into, Baker Mayfield. He's a free agent.
I don't think he was
going to be tough because I think Tampa loves him. That's the thing.
Maybe. And I don't think he would sign somewhere he's not going to start right away.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Tampa might give him big money, be like, here you go. Here's some money for you.
Maybe.
He's done pretty well in Tampa.
He's had a decent year in Tampa. I think they're, what, 7-7 this year?
Yeah, they're in first place in the NFC South. That's not much of an accomplishment with that division, but still.
We're back in, what, 2009? Was that the year that Marshawn Lynch was – oh, that was the NFC West. I'm sorry. Got my divisions mixed up for a sec. But anyways, yeah, this quarterback room is going to look very different come 2024. There's going to be somebody in there. But again, if you take Marvin Harrison Jr. number one, and then you look for a quarterback in free agency, Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo, now a couple names out there, and you can have Zappe as your backup. I think he's done enough to show you he's a very quality backup. He's not a starter. But he can come in and he can control an offense for you for a half. He can do that. And I'm fine with that. It's going to be interesting the next couple of weeks, three more weeks, and then this.
Yeah.
Thank God.
This.
Say it. Just
travesty,
say it.
This travesty of a season is going to be over. Abomination of a season is going to be over.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. Thank Christ.
Thank God. Man, remember how excited the three of us were?
Oh, yeah.
Remember back in week four when we're like, okay, they're 1-2, but they lost one score games to the Eagles and the Dolphins. They're playing the Cowboys. They're going to lose that game, but the Saints are coming to town. Then they lose 34-0. That was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
That was just like, okay.
Now, thank God we didn't go to that game. You wanted to go to that game. We would have seen them lose to the Saints twice.
Ugh.
Twice.
I know. All right. I've had enough talking about this Patriots team. Let's talk some Red Sox, but I mean, they're not too much better, but we got to talk about them. All right, so the Boston Red Sox, they're supposedly trying to do things. I mean, what was it, Tom Warner that said that they were going to go, quote, full throttle this offseason to try to get more talent on the roster? Like, that's going to happen.
$1 million spent so far?
Literally, they've spent $1 million of free agency.
On for, a project, mind you.
For Cooper Criswell, throws 88 miles an hour.
God, he's not that great either.
Cooper Crisco is what we should call him at this point. But anyways, so we know that the big name that's out there, everyone's talking about him, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, being pursued by all these teams. He's talked with the Yankees a couple times. He's talked with the Mets a couple times. He's talked with the Dodgers. Supposedly has not talked to the Red Sox, but there's been a lot of bad reporting out there. I'm not going to throw his name out there. Marino Pepin. You guys know who that is, right, on Twitter?
Of course I know who that is.
Yeah, he's coming up with, like, oh, the Red Sox made this offer, Red Sox made that offer, going after, like, Tyler Milliken on X and everything else. It's like, dude, what sources do you have? Everything you just said is being literally told is not true. So where are you getting your sources from? I hate people that say they have sources, but then they don't. Like, they don't have any sources. Like, shut up. But
according to my sources, you're lying. Okay, cool.
There you go. Exactly. But Yamamoto is going to be making his decision hopefully within the next week, maybe even into the new year.
Until the 4th to make it.
And then what happens if he doesn't make a decision by the 4th? Does he go
He goes back to Japan.
Okay. I mean, he's going to sign. He's going to sign to someone. Someone's going to give him the money. But the thing is, right, if you're the Red Sox, why are you not pulling out all the stops? Because supposedly, according to rumors, the Red Sox are willing to, quote, and I'm paraphrasing here, but get uncomfortable with their offer, but not necessarily do what it takes to get the deal done. Like, basically, they have a number that's outside their price range. They won't go over it.
Yeah.
Why are you not taking care of business and getting a certified ace? Because if you, and they're considered dark horses right now to sign Yamamoto. If you sign him and then you sign Jordan Montgomery, that's a great free agency class right there to go into 2024.
Yeah.
And then you can still make trades if you want to. You have money to spend. How many years have we been hearing it, guys? Oh, the Red Sox want to get under the luxury tax. They're trying to get under the luxury tax. That way they can have a big offseason. This is supposed to be the big offseason. The last couple offseasons, they haven't been able to spend it all. This is the offseason where they're supposed to spend to get back into contention. Look at what's going on around you. The Orioles are making moves. The Yankees are trading for Juan Soto. The Blue Jays are trying to be aggressive. I know they didn't get Shohei. We laugh about it, but at least they're trying to get better. And they've made moves over the past couple of years. Where have you been? And it all comes back to John Henry doesn't give any shit about this team. Prove to me otherwise that he does. He doesn't care anymore. He's got his 4 World Series titles. He's got all these other projects that he's, you know, tipping his toes into. So you know what? Sell the team to someone that's actually hungry to get them back to a World Series. Oh, by the way, just going back to Yamamoto for a sec, you know who could also make a run and supposedly wants to maybe meet with Yamamoto too? Or actually has met with Yamamoto? The Philadelphia Phillies. Who owns the Phillies? Who makes the moves for the Phillies? Dave Dombrowski. Who won the World Series for the Red Sox in 18 as their GM? Dave Dombrowski. So again, and I'm going to end with this, and then I want to hear from you guys. You got rid of Chaim Bloom, fine. You brought in Craig Breslow, okay, fine. But where is this full-throttle effort? Where is this move? Tyler O'Neill is not a full-throttle move. Trading Alex Verdugo for minor leaguers is not a full-throttle move. Signing Cooper Crisco is not a full-throttle move. So where are the full-throttle moves? Where are the moves that are going to get you back in contention in the AL East and in the American League? That's where I'm going to leave it. I want to hear from you guys now because I've been talking enough. Thoughts to the Red Sox, thoughts to Yamamoto, and anything you want to get out, like, vent session away.
Basically, just like you said, Al, it's just kind of embarrassing being a Red Sox fan. And growing up in our childhood, they would go out and spend. They would go get that player that you wanted and find a way to win championships. That's how we grew up knowing the Red Sox. But obviously the past couple of years, it's been trying to save money, and it's like you're a big market team. You have the money to go out and get a big-time free agent. Like, yes, obviously Shohei Ohtani was probably never going to come to Red Sox, but Yamamoto is definitely a pitcher you can get. Just make the offer, go over what you think you should, but it should be attainable. And I just want to see the old Red Sox back when they're willing to spend money. It's kind of sad seeing it what it is in today.
All right, my turn. What else is there to say? John Henry doesn't care. This team sucks. They've made no moves to get better. This baseball season's going to be atrocious because they're going to be ass again. Oh, God. I mean, let me put it to you this way about how I feel about the Red Sox. I'm more excited about winter weekend than the actual MLB season for the Red Sox this year. Because, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, like, the winter weekend, like, lineup. It's stacked. The alumni, it's stacked this year. So, it's like, that's what I'm more excited about. So there's some childhood players there for us. You look at who the Red Sox Hall of Fame class was this year. Childhood for the three of us. Again, it's just like, it's not fun being a Red Sox fan. It sucks. Like, I don't want to go to Fenway this year at all. Every year, I'm like, oh, I wish I went. Wish I went. This upcoming season, don't care. Don't want to go. Because I don't want to spend $50 on a beer and a hot dog and watch them lose like 9-0. Like, no. This team sucks. It's time for John Henry to sell this freaking team to somebody who wants to turn this team around. We should be in the running for Yamamoto. We should have been in the running for Juan Soto. We should have talked to Ohtani. We should be going after these big-name players who are going to put asses in seats and also make the team better. But instead, we're going below mediocrity. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here, fellas? My God.
What we're doing,
John Henry, you are on the naughty list this year and next year and the year after and the year after that. Santa Claus in training has spoken.
Oh, man. What we're doing
good luck is following that one, Al.
What we're doing is we're watching a team that's owned by Ebenezer Scrooge, literally. Literally. Like, that's who they're owned by. A guy that doesn't want to spend, a guy that any pinches, wants to stay below the luxury tax, all that stuff. And now it's going to continue to suffer. You're going to be in last place again in the East unless you make a couple moves to that rotation, because your offense is going to be fine. You have plenty of offense. Your bullpen's actually pretty good too, with Chris Martin and Kenley Jansen at the back end of it. And then if you sign a couple starters, you could put like Garrett Whitlock and Tanner Houck in the bullpen to make your bullpen even stronger. You need those couple starters though. You sign two, or even Alex Cora said this on Rob Bradford's podcast, baseball isn't boring. Get three starters. Go out and sign some starters. Trade for a starter. Corbin Burns is available for a trade. See if you can get Framber Valdez from the Astros. There are names out there that you can get that aren't even Yamamoto. But Yamamoto is just going to cost you money. You have the 10th highest payroll in the MLB. A Yamamoto. A. Mm-hmm. But we're wasting our breath. Because he's going to end up on either the Mets, the Yankees, or the Dodgers. That's how it's going to end up.
Oh, yeah, he ain't going. He's just going. He
I don't know, man. I don't know. The Mets are making him a priority.
Yeah, but okay. Like, one of his big things that Yamamoto wanted, he wants to go to someone where there's already, like, Japanese players. Kodai Senga's there. That's why he went to go talk to the Mets. Sure. Because it's like, he's already got a familiar face there. That's why.
He also wants to pitch on the biggest stage. And what bigger stage to pitch on than Yankee Stadium?
Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium. Yep.
Wrigley. That's another fun one. Fenway, that's a cool place, I think.
Fenway is a cool one. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about a little happiness with the Red Sox. And then we'll talk about Maddie's thing. He's got a fun little thing for us.
I told Al about this, but Powder, wait till you hear this question. You're gonna be mind blown.
I'll make a couple quick points about the Celtics and the Bruins, and then we'll get back to Red Sox. Celtics are 20-6. They lost to the Warriors 134-126 in overtime on Tuesday night. And listen, people are making a big deal out of this because the Warriors always beat the Celtics. Guess what? When the playoffs come, I'm not going to be worried about it because the Celtics know The Warriors are small. They can get into the paint, and then that'll set up their outside shooting, so I'm not worried about that. The Bruins, they have this thing where they like to go into the third period with a lead and then blow it. So they're going to be, again, a borderline playoff team that just maybe makes it out of the first round, but then gets blown out in the second round. That's all I got for them. And Maddie's like furiously nodding at his girlfriend, because his girlfriend is a big Bruins fan, and he's a weird Maple Leafs fan. But anyways, all right, there's your Celtics and Bruins, like literally 10 seconds of it. But back to the Red Sox. Red Sox have announced their 2024 Hall of Fame class. It is three players that if you are in your mid-20s to early 30s and even beyond, you know these three names. Outfielder Trot Nixon, relief pitcher Jonathan Papelbon, and second baseman Dustin Pedroia have all gotten the call to the Red Sox Hall. And I think this is just a perfect Hall of Fame class, guys. I mean, these are three guys that embodied the city of Boston in all of their respective times. Like, you had Nixon from the 90s to the early 2000s. You had Papelbon mid-2000s to 2010s. And then you had Pedroia from the mid-2000s to, you know, 2010s up until almost the end of the 2010s era. So you had all of them in succession, which was great. And, I mean, you can't say enough about all of them. Papelbon was one of the most dominant closers in the game for a number of years. Pedroia was one of the best hitting second basemen and fielding second basemen of that time. And Trot Nixon, he was a dirt dog. He just came to work every day, blew lunch pail, had the ability to get clutch hits, had the ability to make the big play when needed. Great Hall of Fame class for the Red Sox. Something to actually look forward to with this Red Sox team.
Again, what a weekend. They're there. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Do you see the Pedroia video when they asked him about it?
I didn't. Give us a little bit on it.
It's just a real quick, like, 2-second quote of Pedroia saying, "I don't suck at anything." Like, literally, like, what do you think of Pedroia? It's just, like you said, it's players we loved growing up. Everybody used to imitate Papelbon whenever they played wiffle ball. Pedroia just being that small little second baseman that no matter what went against him, he found a way to do it. And obviously, that injury kind of cost him. I think, my opinion, he was on a Hall of Fame path if he had like four more typical Pedroia years. If that injury didn't happen, I think he could have been a legit, not first ballot Hall of Famer. He would have been probably eighth or ninth year on the ballot, but he would have been a Hall of Famer nonetheless. And then Trot Nixon, just absolute workhorse of an outfielder, always found a way to help the Red Sox win.
Thanks for nothing, Manny Machado.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie?
I mean, you can't talk about the history of the Red Sox without mentioning these three. You got to talk about them. I mean, what is there left to say at this point? You guys kind of just wrapped it up perfectly. I played second base because I thought it was cool that Dustin Pedroia played second base. I wanted to be a pitcher because specifically a closer. It's Jonathan Papelbon when I was a kid. Trot Nixon, I thought his name was cool. Like, and he is also just, you know, just a kick-ass person. This is perfect. This is perfect right here. They got, I mean, it's hard to get it wrong anyways when it comes to team history and the Red Sox, but this is perfect.
It really is a perfect class. One of the best classes, I think, in Red Sox Hall of Fame history. Mm-hmm. As far as for us, you know, living right now through it, I think it's going to be one of the best. No doubt about it.
Is there like, do they do like an enshrinement ceremony and stuff like that?
They'll do something. They'll do something.
Like, I don't understand. I don't pay attention to it. So,
they will. They will.
I like with this class though, because yeah, again, childhood class right here.
You should. All right, Powder, you want to give us a little word about A&B Burgers, A&B Kitchen Bar before we get into Maddie's little non-sports hypothetical?
Yep. Like I say every week, Legends Lingo is graciously sponsored by A&B Kitchen Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen and Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from the TD Garden. It's the best spot to meet up before, after, even during Celtics or Bruins game. If you want to be in that atmosphere while the Celtics are absolutely the best team in the NBA and you don't have tickets, I would head over to A&B Kitchen and Bar. You'll have great drinks, great food, kind of whatever you want, burgers, kind of anything they have on the menu. I know they're starting pizzas up there now, so should be a great time there. And make sure you mention the Legends Lingo Boys sent you.
Hey, Legends Lingo Boys sent you. Gotta love it. Real quick, just an update for the fantasy football lovers out there. Maddie, Burnett is not in the playoffs. Tom Powder Cadmus is in the playoffs, and he is losing to Wally Jaha in the first round. I am losing as the one seed to Andrew O'Connor in the first round as well, but we have it in the second week, so hopefully Powder and I can pull out some victories and play each other in the championship. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
It would be. Shout out to our league commissioner, Sergeant Doofus. I mean, Charles Capone. Shout out to Charlie. All right, Maddie, you've been wanting to do this. Before that, Outer, there was something that you wanted to bring up really quick that you saw on X. Either you or Maddie could bring it up. Doesn't matter to me, but you guys know about me too.
You know more than I do.
I'll just read the tweet real quick. It's from Rashard Mendenhall. How do you say his last name?
Yeah, Mendenhall. Yep.
Yep. He said, "I'm sick of average white guys commenting on football. Y'all not even good at football. Can we please replace a Pro Bowl with all black versus all white bowl so these cats can stop trying to teach me who's good at football? I'm better than your goat." And I don't know truly what he was getting into with that. And I think he had other tweets after that, but that just sent X into an absolute storm of just people like you, like us, or even NFL guys or athletes commenting on it, like how the teams would look in an all-white versus all-black football game. And it's funny seeing the teams put together. My opinion, you have so much more speed on the all-black team, but having all-white, you have Tom Brady at quarterback. You have Bill Belichick and Andy Reid as coaches. You have Julian Edelman at wide receiver. You can have Gronk and Kelsey at tight ends. And I feel like the offensive line would be great because I feel like a ton of offensive linemen are white. I can't remember all the guys off the top of my head, but then you have the Watt brothers on defense. I think your team would be pretty solid, but then you have to compete with a Tyreek Hill, a Randy Moss, a Jerry Rice, kind of, because I'm doing all-time great white versus black. I want to see what your guys' thoughts on that would be.
I mean, you got to put Welker in there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welker. I'm trying to think of some older guys. Steve Largent, you got to put him in there. Seattle Seahawk legend.
There's a lot of guys.
Randall Cunningham, those are other two guys you can put in there. Not great person he was, you know, Michael Vick, you literally, not a lot of quarterbacks would be in the NFL today if it wasn't for him. I could go on and on and on.
I mean, it's a fun thought as far as like making the teams all time, but again, it's just like, who's this guy coming out of nowhere?
Rashard Mendenhall, famously known for losing the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and I think it was 45 when he fumbled against the Packers.
There you go, exactly. Yeah. So, whatever. Like, cool dude. Like, good idea, but. Whatever. I don't have much to say.
I mean, I would be thoroughly entertained if that ever happened.
Oh, yeah.
Pokey entertaining for sure. Absolutely. So. No doubt about it. All right. We talked about that. So now, Maddie, go ahead.
All right, Powder. I mean, Al already has his answer to this. I already have my answer to this, too. Powder, are you a fan of fast food?
I am.
All right. So what is your Mount Rushmore of fast food items? Not places, but the items specifically from. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I saw this on a TikTok. And I said, okay, I got to think about this. I said this to Al. I asked my girlfriend this. I asked a bunch of my coworkers this today. And everyone was like, man, this is a tough one.
Okay, so that's.
Al and I have our answers already. It took me over a day to figure out my answer. Yeah. It took Al like 15 minutes.
So four things. I'm going to just try and do four quick. Just obviously not going to take a day to figure it out.
We're all going to sit here for a day now. Great.
3 weeks later.
I would say I have to put the McDonald's fry. That just, especially when it comes right out, right off, crispy, salty. That's just the best fry, I think, in the game. If I were to do a chicken sandwich, I haven't experimented a ton of chicken sandwiches. But I still, if I ever am craving a chicken sandwich, I go to Chick-fil-A. So I'm a big Chick-fil-A guy.
With or without the sauce?
With the sauce. I get a spicy chicken sandwich. I put the sauce on it. If I'm going burger, I'm going Five Guys. I'm a huge Five Guys fan. There's one right around the street from my work. I've been trying to stay off of it, but first year we moved to this office, I probably had it way too much. And then I would say can't go wrong with, and I think Chipotle counts as a fast food. I would say Chipotle bowl. So I would say McDonald's fries, Chick-fil-A sandwich, a Five Guys burger with bacon, and Chipotle bowl.
With bacon, Al, with bacon.
You guys are unbelievable. Are we counting Chipotle as fast food?
So here's the thing. Like, for the sake of this argument, so that, like, we're not here all day, yes. But in my opinion, it's not, because if you say Chipotle's fast food, then you can say Panera's fast food.
Okay.
That's fair. All right. Before Matty gives his, I'll get mine. So, Powder, I agreed with you with the McDonald's fries. I also took the Chick-fil-A sandwich. I took Taco Bell's Crunchwrap Supreme because it's so good, and just like the layers and everything make it great. And I chose a drink because, you know, you got to kind of wash everything down.
Yeah.
I went with the Wendy's Frosty.
Oh, that's a good one.
Chocolate Frosty.
If I were to replace Chipotle, if that's not on it, I'd say Sprite from McDonald's. Do two things from McDonald's. I just feel like for some reason McDonald's sodas are always a little bit better. I don't know why, what they do.
They put so much sugar in it.
Yeah, that's why. They sugar it up like crazy. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, Maddie.
All right. I got possible mentions that did not make the cut. It's not.
Right, give us your top two. We don't have 2 hours.
I have it all written down right here. So, all right. Honorable mentions, McDonald's Sprite, Chick-fil-A fries, and the sauce. The Baconator, ironic, before we recorded this, ironic. Spicy nuggets from Wendy's, Buffalo Chicken Pizza from Domino's, and the Big Kahuna, which is like a giant steak and cheese from Jersey Mike's. My actual Mount Rushmore is the following: a Dave's triple, which is just the triple cheeseburger essentially from Wendy's, the spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes, McDonald's fries. So we're all in agreement on that one. And then Crunchwrap Supreme from Taco Bell. Al, you and I are on agreement as well on that one. So we all each had a chicken sandwich in there. It's okay. You two went with Chick-fil-A. I went with Popeyes.
We did.
Yep.
We did. Fun little list by Maddie, and maybe we'll do a little bit more of these.
Yeah, it's fun every now and then to do it. I mean, we did one for what? Thanksgiving, right? Yep. We were just like, hey, deal and all that, and you guys yelled at me for being right.
But yeah. Yeah, because you didn't like stuffing.
Because I'm right. It's just bread. It's gross.
No, it's delicious. We don't know if we're going to be recording next week. We have Christmas around the corner.
It's kind of a holiday going on next week. So.
Yeah, Christmas on Monday, Christmas Eve, obviously Sunday. Happy birthday, Maddie B.
That's me.
We're not sure if we're going to record next week. We'll figure it out. If not, we'll have an episode in the new year. We'll try to get one in next week, but we'll see. Just to kind of wrap everything up, Patriots continue to stink. Red Sox stink. Celtics are good. Bruins are mediocre. Our fast food items are really good, and we need to stop eating fast food because we can make a little bit.
Yes, we do.
As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else we can get your podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Lingo Legends. Tom Powder Cadmus, Matty B going crazy, breaking a dance move, and probably sweating profusely. I'm your host, Alan the Heegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week or the week after in the new year for episode 253. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Be safe.
Yes, sir.